luckily enough, Peter and Alex already talked about some continuous variables. And that will concentrate the state, I guess, with two induction states. So these are states of harmonic oscillator, if you want. But they're fully characterized by first and second order moments. So the characteristic function is just a Gaussian function. Okay, for a single mode, which is what we will do here, you can pull this a very useful canonical form to write it. Is that you take a thermal state, which is just a thermal distribution of photons, and then you squeeze it along some angle, and then displace it into phase space. Okay, and this fully characterizes your Gaussian state. So these are very interesting first because you can calculate things. So this is the motivation for a theorist. And also, it turns out that it's what you have in the labs. So people are even struggling to make things which are not Gaussian. So immediately, you get Gaussian things in the lab. So it's very relevant. So the first topic is phase estimation. So in terms of process tomography, it's a trivial one. Okay, so your a priori is just a single parameter. It's very efficient. And it's precisely this one. So you have an initial state, which you know. And then you have a process, which is this phase gate. This is the number operator here. In phase space, it just corresponds to a rotation of the px quadratures. And then you end up with this state, and your goal is to find out what is phi, this phase. And this, of course, you have to do through a measurement. So you have your state, it goes through the process, and then here you do a measurement, you get some measurement outcome. And after the measurement outcome, you have to decide what was phi, your state. Your phase. And so for every outcome, you get a phase. Then you pick a figure of merit. In the case of a phase, it's going to take a periodic one like this. And then the global figure of merit of your scheme or your measurement scheme is evaluated by the fidelity, which we call. And it's just the average of this figure of merit. Okay, so this is the Born's rule, the probability of getting outcome chi for a given phase. Okay, you do the average, and you want to optimize this. And of course, you have to optimize over the possible measurements that you do. Okay, so the general solution for this is very nice to obtain, even for mixed states, which is generally not the scenario that traditionally has been done in estimation, where people assume pure states. But for the case of phase, you can get quite easily a general solution of the optimal fidelity, and in fact, for a very general cost function, which has just the only requirement is that the Fourier transform has to be positive. So all these coefficients have to be positive. And for this, the optimal fidelity is always can be written in terms of the absolute value of some coherences in the diagonals of your, in the off-diagonals of your density matrix. So in the case that we were considering before, which is the cosine of the difference of the angle, you just get the sum of the first coherence here. Okay, and the optimal POVM, it's the same no matter what the state is, and the same no matter for all this class of figures of merit. And it's just the phase measurement POVM. It's just a coherent superposition of all Fock states with the same weight, and you do the covariant of that. Okay, so you rotate this over all phase filling. Okay, of course this is positive and it fulfills the completeness relation. So it's a valid TOVM, and this attains this this limit. Another question is how you implement that, but this is the upper bound. Okay, so we can evaluate this for coherent thermal states. So thermal, we allow for some mixture there. And to calculate this, the best way is just to use the P function representation, which Alex talked about the other day. And now it's quite straightforward to just evaluate this sum that I wrote before. And here's to some, just it's quite straightforward. You basically need this integral representation of the square root and do some change of variables. And you get just a closed integral expression for the fidelity, which you can evaluate numerically. And in the asymptotic limit, it just goes like 1 over the mean number of photons. It's just the mean number is just the total number of photons. So the thermal ones plus what you get from displacement. And here it's just the thermal photons that you start with before displacement. And here, as you can see, so basically the temperature means that the size of this bulb here increases. So as you expect, the fidelity goes down as the temperature increases. So temperature is not good for estimation. OK, so for squeeze states, it's a bit more difficult, and we couldn't solve it in general. We could solve it for a very relevant class of squeezed thermostates, which is those that you obtain when you have losses in your squeezing. OK, so this is represented by a beam splitter here, but of course, any kind of loss, linear loss, is either a detector efficiency or some losses or some mode matching or whatever can be just mimicked by a simple beam splitter. So the squeezed thermostates that you obtain from here, we can study. And we again get a closed expression for it, which we can evaluate. And something a bit funny here is that for a given squeezing, if you take a pure state and you take the mixed, so something which is thermal, the fidelity is larger. So apparently, it seems that having a thermal squeeze state is better for phase estimation than having a pure state. Okay, so this might be shopping, but it's just the way we parameterize things. So because if you look at the number of photons that you get, for example, in total for a squeezed and displaced state, thermal state, you see that the number of photons scales in a nonlinear way. So if you start with a thermal photon, you get much more photon number fluctuations. Okay. So in this sense, if you look at, for example, energy, if instead of starting just with a fixed squeezing parameter and just putting initially thermal or pure, if you just fix the total number of photons that you get, so this would be a pure state with the same energy as this one. So purity is having a pure state is better. So it's you will never send your squeeze state through a beam splitter before doing any phase estimation. Yes.
Okay. I understand the comparison between B and C.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have a different sort of way of measuring the pure state in A. Well, how is that?
So this is just you start with a pure. So you take the vacuum, you squeeze it, and then you do phase estimation.
And
this is when you start from mixed state, you squeeze it.
So the horizontal axis is this R parameter.
Which is the squeezing.
Which is the squeeze.
Yes. So in practice, this parameterization of starting from a thermostate squeezing is not what happens experimentally. It happens quite the opposite. So you start with vacuum, you squeeze it, and then your losses turn this into a mixed state.
So what happens is that the squeezed thermal state has substantially more energy than
exactly.
The squeezed vacuum state.
Exactly.
So, okay.
So in a way, what you want for phase estimation, so the conjugate variable of the phase is the number. So you want big photon number fluctuations. If you want big fluctuations, you want big photon numbers. So in a sense.
So experimentally, I mean, it seems like you'd want to use the energy, but experimentally, squeezing, decibels of squeezing is a much more difficult resource than energy, right?
Yes.
So is it possible that actually, experimentally, the mixed state might be better than the pure state, given limited squeezing resources?
If you're asked whether, I don't know, you have your crystal, and you can pump it, and now you ask whether you prefer to put the vacuum in your input mode, or you prefer to put the thermal state, you would prefer a thermal state. This is better. So, but you get, the vacuum is very easy to produce. I mean, you get it for free, right? It's very pure vacuum.
Okay. But you prefer a box.
Yeah, but you don't have this. You, I mean,
well, but I trap hornets.
Okay.
And we can also get our.
No, but the thing is that the typically in experiments you get the thermal squeeze thermal states, but you get them because you produce quite a good squeezing, mm-hmm. and then during the process of squeezing or afterwards, it gets thermalized because there's some losses.
Right.
Okay, but you will never introduce extra losses. This is the intuition works in this direction. Okay, so this was for one copy, which is not maybe relevant in the metrology or so on. So the for finite number of copies, it's very difficult to solve. For pure states, Emily and some other colleagues have done it. But here, for mixed states, we go directly to the asymptotic regime where you have many copies. And then it's you can use the Kramer-Rao, which is in fact for one parameter can be attained. And Brownstein and Case proved some time ago already that this maximum Fisher information that you can, which you optimize over measurements, quantum measurements, is actually the same as the Boole distance.
Inequality in the wrong direction.
It should, yes.
It's
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the Bullis metric, we can calculate for Gaussian states, and you get these expressions here. The same feature as before happens. So here, for thermal states, it doesn't help to increase the size of the flow. Okay. For squeeze states, you see the same feature here, that if you increase the number of initial thermal photons, it's better. And of course, here you get the enhancement of using squeezing here. Okay, so this goes like n squared, and this goes like n.
Is the Bullis distance between what and what?
It's the Bullis metric.
Oh, that's it, I'm sorry.
Yes, no. So you're it's infinitesimal. Okay, but this allows us to study a very simple, but well, to get a first hint of what to do in a measurement when you want to say measure a frequency. Okay, so the phase here scales linearly with time, but you have some losses in the process. So now you might ask, okay, what should I wait a long time to accumulate a lot of phase, or is it worth it to measure immediately so as to avoid some losses? Okay, so using the previous expression, we can work out the numbers for coherent states, and we get that the optimal time just depends on the losses that you have in your system. And we have also what's the maximum, the minimum variance that you can get. Okay. For squeeze states, we have a similar behavior here. So here, no matter what is the input, the time is the same. For the case of squeezing, it depends on the initial squeezing that you have. So for very large squeezing, you want to wait twice the amount that you waited for coherent states, so it's just a 4 here, and we see this behavior. Okay, if we compare the performance of a squeeze state versus a coherent state, given an energy, just to compare the number of the mean photon number, we see that squeezing and coherent states actually perform very similarly. Okay, before I showed that you have these squeezings are good because you get this n squared type of Heisenberg limited resolution. But here, in the presence of losses, we see that they perform equally well. So maybe it's not worth it to use squeezing at all. OK, now we jump to another topic. So people who fell asleep in the first part can wake up. I give you a OK. And this is a quite relevant topic. And there's been a group of people, mainly Martin Fenio and Gerardo Adesso, working in this lately. So the basic idea is that you have you want to implement in an experiment the ideal identity channel. Okay, so you don't want to do anything in a state. This might seem trivial, but it's just a quantum storage, as Alex was saying. It's just a memory. You want to put something in and get the same thing out after some time. Or teleportation, you want to fit something and get the same thing in a different place. Okay, but now in the experiment, it's not ideal, so it will fail. You can do full tomography or whatever, but this is difficult. And you want something that just tells you if your experiment was good or not. Okay, we heard before that the fidelity of 0.75 is quite good. 0.9 is very good, but what does it mean? So Sikorsky proposed that you need some idea to compare, because 0 and 1 for all systems is very difficult. So you need something to compare it with. Okay, and for an experiment which claims to be quantum teleportation or a quantum memory, carries the word quantum, so you want to claim that this experiment was a quantum experiment. Okay, and to quantum meaning that it's not classical. Okay, so you want to say whether in your experiment you really used quantum resources. Or in other words, if you really needed Bell measurements, fighting the coherence or all this, or you could do just classically by measuring your system, guessing what it was, and whenever they ask you to produce a system, just make a guess, okay? So we want to get a bound on how well this measure and prepare schemes can do, okay? These are entanglement breaking channels. So the origin of this, of course, was in teleportation of continuous variables. They got this fidelity, what was it? 0.58, I don't know. Somebody can correct me, I don't know. But it was okay. But they wanted to know, I mean, how okay it is. And they wanted to prove to the world that they did a quantum experiment. So they wanted to compare this to some number. And what they did is just take, okay, what is the main quantum resource in teleportation? It's just the EPR beam, okay? It has quantum correlations, and this is all the magic of it. So let's try to remove it.
Now you take and you take this out and see how this would perform. In this case, it's quite easy to interpret what you get, because if you remove here, you get the vacuum in this port, and this bell measurement here just turns out to be a heterodyne detector. Okay, so what Alice is doing in the end here is just projecting on a coherent state basis, if you want, in this over complete basis. And then she calls Bob, and Bob does a displacement here corresponding to what she measured. So in the end, Bob, so the protocol here is you project onto a coherent state, and you prepare the corresponding coherent state here. And the fidelity that you get here is very easy to calculate. This is just 1/2. So this one half was taken from that time to be the benchmark for quantum teleportation experiments. Okay? But people might argue, if this is really a resource, what happens if you put a separable state here, and or if you invoke locality issues or other things? So later, after there were a bunch of different benchmarks. I'll focus on this one. And the idea that Bronstein and Fuchs had, and then Kimball, was just to what I said before. So they took as a benchmark something, the fidelity that you obtain by a protocol that consists on taking some set of states here, measure, and prepare. Okay? And then, of course, this is just a black box. Okay? And you want to compare what you get in the output here, an average over all outputs given an input. Okay? So this is the probability of getting a given outcome chi and the guess that you make. If you don't know how the black box works, you get this state on average, okay, out of this channel. And now you compare this state to the input state that you made. Okay? And you have to test this over some states. Of course, if you only test it with one state, there's no need to measure or prepare anything. I tell you, I will give you this state. Okay, thank you. When you ask me, I will give you that state. I prepare it, and that's it. So you get fidelity one. So at least you need two states. Okay, so let's take two states. If I tell you I will give you either this state or that state, then you perform a measurement, make a guess, and the optimal fidelity is quite easy to show, that is given by this, where x is the overlap between these two states, and at most, at least, is 0.93, which is very high. So for an experiment, this benchmark will be too high. It's difficult to beat. Okay. So anything that will show a fidelity higher than 9.3, you will be sure that it's quantum, but to achieve this is quite difficult. Okay, so now let's say, okay, I don't give you two, but I tell you, for example, that it's a pure state, but I don't tell you anything else. Okay, so I will test your channel over an isotropic distribution of pure states, or as Robin was saying, you just sent a part of a maximum entangled state. And you get the fidelity, this is well known. So for a finite system, you get 2 over the dimension. Okay, now we have the problem in continuous variable systems that this dimension is infinite. So this goes to 0. So any fidelity which is non-zero is quantum. Very good. But of course, to this test, you will have to show over the whole set of coherences, unless you believe that there's some symmetry. I mean, but if you want to really have a proof, then you have to test the whole space, which is impossible, even just from energetic considerations. Okay, so people now say, okay, you cannot have infinite energy, so I will give you coherent states in the input, and I have the promise that most of them will be around 0, and once in a while I will give you something which is very energetic. Okay, and for this, Hammerer and in the group of Sirac, they managed to calculate this optimal prepare measure, a measure and prepare a protocol, and they find that the fidelity is this one. Okay, indeed, when you make this this distribution flat, this goes to the 1/2 that they had before, from other kind of reasonings. Okay, then there's been also some work by Serafini in Plenius' group, taking another type of distribution. Okay, and what we have done here is to take a family, which for the first time considers mixed states as input, which is in the experiment. When you test the experiment, it's what usually happens, especially if you finish squeeze states. And it allows for any Gaussian state, so squeezing or displaced states. And the family, I will test the family just by rotating my state over a continuous variable phi. Okay. And the benchmark will be this fidelity, which again compares the input that I give you with the average state in the output. Averaged over, so you measure, you get an outcome, and I guess, I forget, so the end user doesn't know, doesn't need to know what I did. So this, he will compare this density matrix with the input and averaged over all possible test states. Okay, and since we're considering mixed states, we will use the fidelity, okay, for mixed states, which is a nasty thing to calculate. You can see. Yes.
Yes. Why fidelity and not turn off that?
Well, the Sherlock is even more complicated, I guess, to calculate.
Okay.
And besides of that, in principle, so the motivation for this is in the end, I mean, the goal of this is to give experimentally some simple thing, a benchmark in the end. And the fidelity is what they're used to do. And well, it's very hard to calculate, even with the fidelity. But the hope is that it's very easy to check. And in the end, I mean, the Chernoff bound, the nice thing it has is that it has a interpretational meaning, right? So this was the whole point of the motivation of having this Chernoff bound. But here we don't care so much about the interpretation. We just want the number, and if the experiment exceeds its number, then you can claim its quantum. You can put whatever quantity you want there, as long as you have for sure that if you exceed this, it's kind of a threshold that tells you if you pass it, you know for sure that the experiment was quantum. It could be in any units or whatever. I don't know. Okay, so the advantage of this is that the phase covariant family is large enough, so you will not get values of 0.99 that you have to pass. And it's very easy to produce in experiments, again, in optical experiments, just to change the phase. Recently, also, Adesso and Kirivella studied also benchmarks that work for squeezing, not only displacements. But the figure of merit they took, it's a bit different. Okay, so they do an average again here. So it's an average of a fidelity. But they average for every output of the measurement. Again, it's the same philosophy. So you have a measure and prepare scheme. But here the piece outside, if you notice. Okay? So what we did here is just compare input and output of the channel. Here they compare. For every outcome of the channel, they compare input and output. Okay, so you have to know the details of the black box in principle. And yes, S of R. Is there an S of R? Where? Oh yes, yes. Sorry, this is a squeezing operator. It was. Yes.
So the unknown parameter here is just what squeezing you have. Okay, so to test this in the experiment, you will have to first try with one squeezing, and then change the squeezing, and so on. And in the squeezing, it's very difficult because when you change the squeezing in an experiment, you will, due to losses, you will change the temperature also. And here, it changes the family. It's much more easy to change the phase. Okay? But they did this. And the other assumption they made here, and as we will see, this is quite important, is that the guess state, so you measure, you get an idea of what R might be, and then you make a guess, and their guess was a squeeze state, an equal squeeze state as the input, but with the parameter they guessed. Okay? As we will see later, it's not always the case that the guess state belongs to the family. I will insist this later because it's important. This thing here. Also, let me point out a very important, nice paper here. It was out 2 weeks ago or so in the group of Martin Plenio. They did basically the same. They tried to derive benchmarks, or they did derive benchmarks, averaging over phases and displacements, squeeze states. Okay, and they could calculate some things. The figure of merit, they didn't take this, but just the Hilbert-Schmidt overlap, so without the square roots if you want. Okay, so to calculate things, again, we can, since we're working in with covariant states, turns out that, again, we can use covariant strategies. And in the end, so covariant strategy, so given any strategy,
so that you have some POVM elements and some guess states. You can make it covariant by just rotating it over your group. In this case, it's this phase operator. And rotating the corresponding guess states accordingly. Okay? So it's quite easy to show that in the end, this fidelity that I showed before, where you average over all phases, you can write it just as the fidelity between the initial state for a given phase, zero, say, with the average state defined here, okay, where you have to do the average over the phases again. And this you can show using the typical tricks of concavity. 3 minutes. Okay, I'll go fast. Okay, this can be written like this expression here, where now you have this K matrix here, which is just the POVM followed by the guess. You have the tensor product. Okay, so now you can write this as a maximization of matrices K of this form, which what is essential? What is the structure of this? This is a separable matrix, okay, positive, of course. And if I trace out this, the completeness relation enforces me that I have to have the identity here. Okay, and moreover, since the states are invariant under these phase operations, this has to be invariant. So I can turn this problem into maximization over a set of matrices. 3 minutes, I got it. Okay, so for pure states, we can solve this exactly. Apparently, it was not solved before. It was solved when you have a isotropical distribution. But here, so I give you an input state with the promise that it's in this plane here. I don't know the phase. Now, the optimal measurement here is the phase measurement. I project onto this equatorial plane. And notice that the guess, it's not in the red rim here. It's in the blue rim. Okay, so even if you know for sure that your state is up here, you will never guess a state up there. It's better to guess something which is out of this plane. Okay, so this typically in state estimation, people always take the guess state to be of the input state family, and this is not optimal. Okay, and this feature we will see, so this is maybe a bit academic. This is a main important thing here. Okay, another thing is if you fix the POVM, then you just the optimization just becomes an eigenvalue calculation, which is very easy to calculate. If one restricts the guess state family to be in the input state family, it's very easy to solve also. But in our case, we don't know what is the optimal POVM, and we don't know what's the optimal guess. So it's very complicated. Luckily, we can rely on semi-definite programming. Here, since we had Robert's talk before, I can skip this very fast. So it's basically minimizing a linear function, subject to some matrix, which is linear with these variables here. And you have some positivity constraint, positive in terms of matrix. Okay, so their eigenvalues have to be positive. And this allows you to find very efficiently optima. Okay, so for the case of pure states, this is just an overlap, so it's very easy. It's exactly of the form. It's just a linear maximization problem with some positivity constraints here. The separable, so the condition separability here, and was shown by Doherty and Parillo and so on, that you can write a hierarchy of conditions which are of the right form for this problem. And here we just stick to the PPT condition. So we just demand this K is separable. So it provides a good upper bound. This is what we want. For mixed states, since we're using the fidelity, fidelity is not a linear thing, okay? But as Robert insisted, don't be afraid in the beginning if it's nonlinear, okay? Many, many nonlinear things can be linearized. And in the case of the fidelity, Ullmann's theorem just says it quite explicitly, okay? So we can maximize this over purifications, okay? So we had two density matrices here. We write purification, so we extend the Hilbert space with the constraint that partial tracing gives the density matrix. So we can now maximize this through a linear program having linear constraints or semi-definiteness constraints. Okay, and again, this is very efficient, allows you to calculate things, and we have now benchmarks for coherent states. So everything, any fidelity which is above this will show quantumness. And the same for squeezing, these are pure. And for mixed, analytical results, you can get some. And for mixed, you have, of course, now that depending on the temperature of your input, you get different benchmarks. Okay? The bad thing is that the more mixed it is, the more tougher the benchmark is to beat. So these benchmarks are good if your state is a bit mixed, but not if it's very mixed. Okay, with this I finish a bit ahead of time, a bit late, but.
Thank you. Discussion, questions, comments? On the previous two slides back, I think I missed something.
Mm-hmm.
One before that. So first that one.
For coherent states,
mm-hmm.
Why is that so much bigger than a half? This is a stupid question, I lost something, but for coherent states, the benchmark was a half.
For coherent states, if I test over all coherent states in the universe.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so this is over a ring, right?
So this is just taking alpha, a given coherent state with, I don't know, in this case, two photons, mean photon number, and just rotating it in phase space. So I only sample these ones.
So a very large ring is much easier to classically teleport than the whole disk.
Yes. Hmm. Well, it's reasonable, no?
Okay.
This is a very constrained family. I mean, I'm including all coherent states there in the one half thing. Okay. And here, the nice thing is that we can, for squeezing, so for coherent states, you have this previous result, and even if you don't want to consider all coherent states, you have this Gaussian distribution, and so you have to sample. Do a first sampling of just a sum of them around zero. But for squeezing, there was no benchmark before, so there's already some memory experiments or teleportation experiment with squeezing, and they didn't have any benchmark. Okay, so this works.
More questions?
Okay, go ahead. So, you stressed that it is important to take into account the possibility that your guess is not in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that in the previous work by Alessio and Curiella, they did not take that into account. So, it means that the boundary provided is actually not the right one? I mean, it's not.
For pure states, so I don't know. It could be that the guess in their case could be in the family. In our case, it's not. So for coherent states, so this blue line here is exactly this. So if you say that your guess is is a coherent state with the same amplitude as the input, you get this benchmark here. Okay, but so you see that if I would take this as a benchmark and I have an experimental point here, I would say it's quantum, but as a matter of fact, if you're cutting out, you would find a measure and prepare strategy that does better than that, so it would not be quantum. So it could be that they're on the lucky side. Okay.
More questions, comments? No, let us thank John once again.
Thank you.